your identity in Christ. Say, embracing my identity.
In Christ.
In Christ is the key. You know, the world talks a lot about, it's not just a recent phenomena. It's always important to have an appropriate and a healthy view of yourself. But it's who you identify with is huge. And this area, I consider it an attack. At the root of it, it's demonic. Doesn't mean a person is of the devil. But at the root of it is how Satan subtly speaks and does things to help us feel acceptable, feel bad. My nose is too narrow, too wide, skin's too light, too dark, got too many pimples on, bump over here, too tall, too short, wrong accent. But so that all that kind of stuff can hinder us from living the life God's called us to be as a Christian. So the best thing to do is to find out who we are in Christ and identify who you now are as a Christian in Jesus Christ. It's not just nice to do. Your future depends upon it. Your destiny, from God's perspective, what He has in store for your life, depends upon how you embrace your identity in Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it reads, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ," say in Christ.
In Christ.
And this is the key phraseology used in particular in the New Testament about in Christ. And also Christ is in you. When you receive Jesus Christ, He comes into your life. But also, you're in Him. You're in Him. This is huge. It's not that He's in you and you kind of, He's kind of adapting to your identity. No, you're in Him.
Yes.
And we ought to adapt to His identity. Say His identity. And that is grafted in, joined to Him by faith. This is key piece, faith. Because you may not feel like it. When I received Christ, I was about 5 feet, 7 and a half. Guess what? A day after that, I was still 5 feet, 7 and a half. I didn't get shorter. I may get a little taller. Just playing. My point is that I may not feel like I'm saved. And I don't go there anymore, but you may thought something, did something, or Satan brings something about your past to your mind, and that was a bad thing. I didn't really feel bad I did that. Now then the devil kind of rubs it in. But it's by faith. Say by faith.
By faith.
And it's by faith based on what God said. It's not based on nothing else but what God said about you. You have a new identity in Christ. Grafted in, joined to Him by faith in Him as Savior. He is a new creature. That's who you are. You're brand new. Reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit. The old things, the previous moral and spiritual condition have passed away. I love it. It's gone. It's dead.
Amen.
Old Eddie is dead now.
Amen.
He died back in February 1973 when I received Christ. That's when old Eddie died. He's passed away. And I won't let him talk. I won't let him act up in me. Oh, yeah. See, notice I said I won't let him. Because we're still in this natural body. It's the spirit man, the real you on the inside that's born again. But we live in this physical body, and that physical body is where the emotions and the challenges. In fact, the Bible says there's nothing good in the flesh. In fact, the Bible says cursed is the man that trusts in the flesh. Because it's going to bring you in bondage. I mean, Paul talks about that in the book of Romans chapter 7. When I would do good, evil is present. That what I don't want to do, I end up doing. That I want to do, I don't do that. And then he says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? If you're not careful, we'll stop there. See, I told you, Pastor, I just can't help myself. God made me a man. I like all the pretty women and all. Can't help myself. That's the way I am. But you know what? He says, the next verse, with the mind, my will, I serve the law of God. And you can do that when you identify properly with who you are in who? Christ. I let my body run me, it would ruin my life. Like so many people's lives that have been ruined by just how they feel about stuff. I want to minister to you. See, how you identify, okay, let me help you. My lovely wife is up there somewhere. We will be married 42 years in a couple of months in November. But I had to embrace my identity as a loving husband. And when I embraced my identity as a loving husband, I act differently toward her, how I speak to her, how I work with her, how I support her, how I give to her, how I love her. It's not like I love her my way. I want to love her God's way. Amen. God's way of loving is sacrifice. And when I understand who I am in Christ now and identify as a loving husband, my behavior changed. This is why identity is huge. Some men, they marry, but haven't fully embraced their identity as a married husband. I recall just in my office, it was about maybe 20 years ago, young couple had some marital problems, and they came in for counseling, and the husband basically said she wanted to know where he was going, you know, getting home kind of late, you know, and also inquired about how much money he made. He said, I told you, I'll give you enough money what you need. You don't even know how much I make. I mean, he just kind of like went there in front of me. I'm thinking, that's what he talked to you, why? And I get home when I get home. Yeah. But he has an embrace. Say embrace. So his identity is as a single man. You're going to get this. Not a married man. See, what the identity we embrace dictates how we live our life. In every area of life. I have a younger brother. He went to the Marines. Kind of interesting. I was in college and I came home. His name is Ray. And he was the youngest boy, so he kind of had the house by himself and did what he wanted to do, get up late around 12 o'clock, want breakfast and lunch. Wouldn't take out the trash. I said, Ray, at least take out the trash, man. And one day, my brother Ray joined the Marines. Mom called and said she hadn't heard from Ray in a few days, and a week went by, haven't heard from Ray. We're all a little concerned. Just a letter from the Marines. He had joined the Marines. Ray was kind of slowful. Ray wouldn't take initiative. Ray kind of hang around the house, wouldn't do housework. Just kind of do his own thing. You know, California dreaming. Yeah. He had a big time. And so anyway, but he went to the Marines and he learned to identify with the Marines. Those days, waking up at 12 o'clock for breakfast and lunch were over. Yes. And I'll never forget the day. We went down there to celebrate him graduating from Camp Pendleton. And we went to the cafeteria. We got there a little early. He met us and so forth. And, you know, and all of a sudden, Ray said, oh, I got to go. I said, Ray's conscious of time? There had to be a God. And he left us there. He said, I'll see you down. I gotta be on time. And in the natural, I began to almost envy him. The transformation in his life. Because I knew it. He wasn't a bad guy. Just, you know, playing it loose. You know, enjoying life. But it wasn't getting much done. No purpose. And so, but he embraced G.I. Joe. A little side note, you go by his house, he got those army men and stuff and at his house. Let him stop that. Telling his business right now, okay? Leave him alone, yeah. But then it says, have passed away, behold, or see, new things have become because spiritual awakening brings a new life. See, we need to observe it. You need to see yourself new. But I'm still the same guy. No, you're a new person now. What God is saying, you need to behold and see. You're not the person you are. You were when you weren't a Christian. You're somebody new. And you embrace it. you behave differently. The problem with why people don't behave differently, they have not embraced who they are in Christ. And it's not just to be, okay, I'm going to do better as a Christian. No, it's also about the purpose of God in your life. Over the years, I've seen, like many of you have seen over various presidential elections and senator elections and governor elections and so forth, the mayor. But those in the spotlight are oftentimes presidential. And I've seen men, sometimes they get in the office and they get they're campaigning, and then stuff comes out about their life as if they thought it would never come out. Good men at the core, but not, some of them Christian, but not embracing who they are in Christ. Went to church probably, but not embracing who they now are in Christ. As if he wouldn't get out that he's with another woman on a yacht and nobody would find out about that. And he's running for president. Destroyed everything. Your destiny is held up or stopped, but not fully embracing. As a Christian in particular, we're talking about who God has created you to be. But then we do it just in our own strength because we just have good intentions. I've been doing okay for a while, but have you fully embraced who you are in Christ? Identity is huge. In fact, give you a little insight. It was the area, and Satan hasn't changed, where he tempted Eve in the garden. Have God said, if you eat of the tree, you'll be like him. She was already like God. God made man and woman in his image, in the likeness of God. She was not God, but she was like God. But that was the temptation, her identity. Jesus Christ, after the 40-day fast, Satan said, if you be the Son of God, turn these rocks into bread. He's addressing the core issue of life for people. Identity. He's still working on it, which every one of us. Where we deal with it is have a clear biblical view of who you really are in Christ and embrace it. Otherwise, you pick up what's available on the street. The recent version out in the world, or based on your experience, what the teacher told you. You'd never be management material, never go to college, never amount to much in your life. That's not how God sees you. He says you have the mind of Christ. He says greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. In fact, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5, it says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. See, there's no problems in heaven. Problems in the earth. And this is the victory, say victory, that overcometh the world, even our faith. So if you're born of God, by definition, you are a world overcomer. Yeah. When I heard that almost 40 years ago, I said, you know, God, I'm going to receive that. I'm going to call myself a world overcomer. Any problem, any issue, I got to seek you, get clarity. I got to do what I got to do. But you know what, God, I can overcome that. Marital problems, financial problems, career problems. It's in the world. You can overcome it. Say overcome it. Overcome. I mean, move forward toward the destiny and purpose that God has for you in that situation. But you give up because it's hard. But greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I can do all things. Say all things.
All things.
Through Christ who strengthens me. I'm quoting you scripture. Until it'd be a nice verse, but if you don't embrace it, for me personally, I don't have it in my life. And yet, we're going to talk about it in a few minutes. The world and the earth is waiting on us to show up. We can't show up if we don't identify really who we are. The more we identify with who God created us to be, the more our lives will conform to it. So, you know, the term used in Scripture about hypocrites and so forth, and they misrepresent, it's not that people do it on purpose. They just can't help themselves because they're not fully embraced who they are, even though they're Christian. Even though they're Christian. We have to not only believe it, but embrace it. I mean, if I fully embrace it, I'm going to act accordingly. Like my brother did with G.I. Joe. Had his hair cut short. Had nice posture. And was on time. Transformation. And that was only over a few weeks, y'all. That wasn't 6 months. That wasn't 12 months. A few weeks in boot camp. Transformation. And yet, sometimes we can be saved for a while. And what's going on? We have to fully embrace. Say, fully embrace. The good news is, I'm not here to put you down, make you feel bad. If you feel bad, that's not me trying to do that. Okay? What I want to encourage you is, today we can start changing today. Start embracing today. Say, I will embrace today. All that God has for me. And what he says about me. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, please, verse 4. We'll skip a few verses, but you should read the whole entire chapter on your own, please, for context. It's a lot there to say. You know, my bent in life and approach is very application, very practical. You know, I've said it before, but I would quit this church if I'm not adding value to you. My whole bent in life is to add value, is to help. So I keep it real. I want to, when you leave here, you're better off. And so the teaching on this topic is huge because it impacted my life as a young boy from South LA with a mom and no dad. 7 kids in the family on welfare. You know, so that impacted me. But when I received Christ and found out who I was, okay, I'm not that little boy that, you know, poor boy down the street and had to do everything by himself to buy his first bicycle, first skateboard, first car, all by himself. Okay. Now I'm a person who's in Christ. And my Father provides for me. He shows me what I need to do. Are you following me? A whole different paradigm shift in my thinking. Verse 4. For he chose us in him. Say in him.
In him.
In him is, in context, is Christ. Before the creation of the world to be what? Holy and what else? Blameless in his sight, in love. You were chosen to be holy and to be blameless. Before, this is powerful. Before the creation, I love it. See, God plans, has a plan for us. When God created man, he had already created the heaven and the earth. Like we do, we got a new baby coming in. We paint the room, get a new baby bed, and, you know, new clothes. You know, unless your money's tight, you may get some used clothes, but you get something new and fresh and nice. God prepared for man before man showed up. Guess what? Before you were born, you showed up. God had a plan for you too. But it's in Christ. Say it's in Christ. That's the only place where it is. It's in Christ. Verse 5, he predestined us to adoption, to sonship. Say sonship.
Sonship.
Adoption. I love it. Now, don't think adoption like the world. Maybe you know somebody, you know, maybe they adopted somebody, didn't treat them properly and all that. You know, maybe they had, for their biological kids, they had a will, but the adopted kid, they didn't offer them in the will. May have done something like that. God's not like that. When God adopted us, he adopted us, and you got access to everything he has. And when you get that, why are you going to think lack? Why are you going to think it can't work? Not enough for me. Just got to figure out, see God's wisdom, and take the appropriate steps. But you don't, oh, I guess I can't do it. I've got to give you a vision. Sonship. Say sonship.
Sonship.
And I realize I'm talking like this. It's maybe some of you may be a little awkward because few preachers talk like this, but it's in Scripture. So it's almost like I'm boasting. I want you to boast. And no, just be who you are. God. and be comfortable who you are in Christ and fully embrace. Say fully embrace. He predestined us by us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. Look at verse 7. In him, say in him.
In him.
That's talking about Jesus. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Say forgiveness of sins.
Forgiveness of sins.
Powerful. So God's forgiven you. Guess who else needs to forgive you? You. In fact, we had a young adult that was in our service, first service, and after service came by and spoke with me how this ministered to him. He said, Pastor, I'm glad you're talking about this because this is one of my challenges, and God spoke to me earlier about this because he wouldn't forgive himself for what things he did. And yet, in Christ, you're forgiven. Say, I'm forgiven. But the devil brings stuff up to your thinking and what you did and how it may cause problems and your life would be better off, you'd be further along if that didn't happen and all that kind of stuff. And so he said, God says, well, who's the judge, me or you? Well, Lord, you're the judge. Well, if I'm the judge and I said you're forgiven, why? What gives you a right to say you're not forgiven? Oh, you're going against me. I said you're forgiven, and you're saying you're not. You're judging yourself. When he said that, I said, that's powerful, brother.
Amen.
God says you're forgiven. In fact, he says, I will not remember it again. So we know this trick of the enemy. You got to realize the enemy is trying to get you to get into this bad space and feel bad. Or people remind you. Circumstances remind you. But it's not who you are. Say, it's not who I am.
It's not who I am.
You know, I grew up in the hood, y'all. And sometimes we got to get a little attitude about stuff, okay? Devil, that's you lying to me. You better stop it. I'm not listening to you no more. In the name of Jesus. And I start talking to myself about who I am. I thank you, Father, I got the mind of Christ.
Amen.
I thank you, Lord, I have favor with you and also with men.
Amen.
The boss may not like me. You know what? Ain't up to him. Ain't all up to him. God, I got favor with you and men.
Amen.
I start speaking what God says about me.
Amen.
But unless we fully embrace, we got a problem saying that. I don't want to say it. What if it don't happen? When you fully embrace and he's your Father, he's the creator of heaven and earth. Why doubt him? Why question him if you really believe it and embrace it? Verse 9. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed where? In Christ. And then he says in verse 10, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment. That's at the end of the age. To bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. And this is an important piece about because the plan of God is that it will all come together. Right now, there's no unity between heaven and the heavens above the earth. And earth and heavens above the earth. There's no unity there. There's confusion. That's what we see in what's going on in the various weather patterns. Been going on for years. It's all designed to bring terror and destroy people's lives and try to stop what God's doing. I want to encourage you to read, in particular, the last two chapters of the book of Revelation, which is the last two chapters of the Bible, chapter 21 and chapter 22 on your own. Because, and I read it again this morning, I got up early and started reading again, just thinking about this message to encourage you. Because it gives you insight into the end. And it's good. Say it's good.
It's good.
It's wonderful. In fact, God said he will create a new heaven and a new earth. Not a renovated one. Not a borrowed one. But a new one. Say a new one.
A new one.
And we will live in this wonderful city as Christians with God. And it is so beautiful. Talking about a nice pad, okay, a nice city, nice neighborhood. You ought to read about it. That's who you are. That's the end. No, we don't have to give up and have, not have a nice house, a nice place to live, a nice neighborhood today. But you need to have a sense about the purpose and the plan of God he has for your life. It says that each of the 12 gates is a pearl. The city is about 1,500 miles square. Give you an idea, you can put it on United States. I understand it's going to be on the United States, but on the United States. And the north side is on the border of Canada, south side, Gulf of Mexico, east side, the Rocky Mountains, and then on the, that's the west side, and the east side, the Appalachian Mountains. That's how big that's the city we're going to live. We're going to be living in. And then it says, I know people get a little bent out of shape with nice stuff, but that's your problem. That's their problem. I know you're doing good with it. But the street is not paved with gold. It is pure gold, like clear glass. What kind of gold is that but God's gold? And then he got a mansion for us. Not a hut. See, when we start thinking eternity, we can deal with the challenges in life, the temporary situations, compared to eternity, better. And we make sacrifices to serve God for his greater purpose. Say greater purpose. But if we're tied up into just how this life is in the natural piece, we're not really conforming to his image. We're not really embracing who we really are. Just want to encourage you, because it impacts how we relate to people in our marriages and our children. And because if you're not careful, we'll let our how we really feel, not really up to what God says, come out in harsh treatment or put yourself down. Not good enough. Now, that's what they said about you at that job. That's not what God says about you. Not smart enough. That's what that teacher may have said to you, or your grades may have said to you. Not what God said about you. This lesson, this understanding, saved my life. It will save yours too as you fully embrace and the pattern that your children need. Because not just about us, our children, say our children, need to see parents overcome. Tell them how some of the struggles you had and how God came through for you. Don't hide it. Some still may be kind of personal, they're young children. But my point is that let them know that God's a good God. Let them know by you identifying with who he is and believing him, God comes through, he's faithful. Let them know. Say, let them know. But if we can't share testimonies like that, then they have nothing to know. So don't feel bad if you had some challenges and, you know, whatever, you got ways to go. I got a ways to still go. Come on. But my point is, let's fully embrace. Say, fully embrace.
Fully embrace.
Let me wrap up here and look, give you another passage quickly. Ladies are ready to come share. Romans chapter 8. No, not there. Hold on. Romans chapter. Hold on. Yeah, that's one. Romans chapter 8, verse 19. It says, for the creation the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. The creation. You can imagine what's going on in the weather patterns. The animals are struggling. The fish are struggling. The whole environment, the creation of God is struggling. And they're waiting for who? The sons of God. You and I to show up. Children of God, verse 21, that the creation itself would be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom, say freedom, and glory of the children of God. We should be, the animals and all the creation of God is looking to us. Somehow they know something ain't right. Somehow the creation of God knows. We weren't created to live this way. And our only hope is when the children of God show up. But if the children of God don't know who they are, we can't what? Show up. Whether it's miracles, others, power of God in their life, God coming through. God is waiting for us to show up. He's done his part. He wants us to embrace him. Say embrace him. Embrace. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. You're here today, and you've been provoked. You've been encouraged. Maybe even challenged to receive God and his son in your life. While every head is bowed and every eye closed and the believers are praying softly, you say, Bishop Ed Smith.